Today's scripture passage comes from Psalms chapter 27, verses 1, 4 through 5, 8, and 13 through 14. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. So this morning we're starting a new series, I Need a Miracle. And we're looking at the theme of desperation today. Desperation that maybe it's too late. Think of a situation in your life or in someone's life that you know of where you just went through a really tough time and where it seemed like maybe God moved a little too late for your preferences, where it just was challenging and you didn't know if God was going to come through and it just seemed like such a dark hour. If you have something like that or if you know of someone who wants something like that, kind of be thinking about that while you hear this song. And this song is leading us into our message today.
She was tired of the lies, tired of the mud, but she didn't want to see him go. She fell on her knees and said, I haven't prayed since I was young, but Lord above, I need a miracle.
Well, no matter who you are.
need a miracle. And in your hour of desperation, know you're not the only one praying, Lord above, I need a miracle. Lord above, I need a miracle. I need a miracle. That's what I want you to think about as we head into the message today. Good morning, happy Easter, and welcome once again to the Living Water Church. I'm Pastor Todd, if we've not got a chance to meet yet, and I'm just really glad that you're all here to celebrate that Jesus is alive, that death is defeated, and what better day than Easter to start a new sermon series titled, I Need a Miracle. So if you haven't yet, go ahead and grab those message notes so you can kind of follow along and take some notes if you want to today. And over the next 5 weeks during this I Need a Miracle series, we're going to be studying some of Jesus' most incredible miracles from the Bible. We're going to discover and learn what a real miracle is. And we're going to be going to discover how you can experience a miracle in your own life. Because right now, if maybe you're feeling like you're sinking and you can barely keep your head above water, well, there was a miracle for that. Next week, we're going to look at the miracle where Jesus and Peter walked on top of the water. Or maybe if you feel a little bit lost and you just don't feel like life has any purpose, and you just can't see a way forward in the challenges in your life, well, there's a miracle for that. In a couple of weeks, we're going to look at a miracle where Jesus healed the blind man. Or maybe you feel stuck in your job, or maybe stuck in some relationships, stuck in life just in general. Well, there's a miracle for that. In a few weeks, we're going to look at a miracle where Jesus healed the paralyzed man. If right now maybe you just kind of feel abandoned in life, you feel all alone, like there's just no one else there in your life, well, there's a miracle for that. A few weeks, we're going to look at the miracle where Jesus healed the 10 lepers. And if you feel like you're just running out of everything, running out of money, running out of strength, running out of time, maybe even running out of hope, there's a miracle for that too. We're going to look at the miracle where Jesus fed over 5,000 people with a dinner roll and 5 sardines. If you're feeling overwhelmed right now in life, like you're just at the end of your rope, like you're going to give up, well, I really believe this series is for you if you've experienced that, because I want to tell you, Jesus has a miracle for you. But maybe today, as we think about today's topic, you're feeling like, I don't know, I think maybe it's just a little too late. You know, like I needed a miracle. I needed God to show up. I needed God to come through for me, but now it's just too late. You know, maybe you were trying to get pregnant for so long, but now the biological clock, it's running out, and it's too late for a miracle. Or maybe, you know, your little girl, when she was small, you just weren't there for her, but now she's about ready to graduate, and you desperately want to have a part in her life, but she's saying, you know what, Dad, it's just too late. It's too late for a miracle. Or maybe you're wife or your spouse just walked out and they filed divorce papers and you wish you could go back and change things, but now it's too late for a miracle. Or maybe they just discovered stage 4 cancer and it is spreading rapidly and you wish they had discovered it earlier where they could have done something about it, but now you just feel desperate and you feel like it's too late for a miracle. Well, today I want to talk about another time when it just seemed way too late for a miracle, and that was Good Friday. Good Friday, they thought Jesus was the Messiah. He was going to be the one that the prophets had been talking about. He was going to free the Jewish people from the occupation of the Romans. He had given them hope and freedom. He was going to be the miracle. But then Good Friday happened, and everything went bad. Jesus was arrested, he was unfairly tried, he was beaten and whipped within an inch of his life, and then he was hung on a cross with long spikes driven into his hands and feet, and a crown of thorns placed on his head to mock him, and now there's a few friends and his mom that's watching From a distance, as Jesus grasped for his final breaths, it seemed way too late for a miracle. Desperation had set in. Now, I know today is Easter, but I want to begin our Easter story today a couple days before on that Good Friday. And if you look there in your notes, we have the scripture passage about Good Friday. It's the story of the crucifixion. And so I want to walk through this because I want you to see how miracles can come into your life even when you feel like it's way too late for it to happen, even when you feel desperate. So we're in the Gospel of Luke chapter 23. We're going to start with verse 44. And it says this, by this time, it was about noon. Now, just to understand how quickly things had been moving in Jesus' life, just the evening before, Jesus had been sharing a final meal, the Last Supper, with his disciples. And then after that meal, they'd gone to the Garden of Gethsemane, and they were praying there in the garden. Jesus was praying, and then Jesus was arrested just 12 hours before this scripture passage that we're reading. And then through the night into the early morning, he endured three unfair and highly illegal trials. Around 6 a.m. that next morning, Jesus was condemned by the Roman governor Pilate to die by crucifixion. By 9 a.m., after being brutally tortured, Jesus is hanging on the cross in excruciating pain. And so now, where we are in this passage, it's noon on Good Friday. Jesus has already been hanging on the cross for 3 hours. He's in more pain than you and I could ever imagine. Life is beginning to drain out of him. And at noon, the Bible says this next, and darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. The light from the sun was gone, and suddenly the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn down the middle. So what we have here is we've got some kind of eclipse that happens at noon, and it just completely becomes dark for 3 hours. And then by this time, so Jesus is hanging on the cross for 6 hours, and the Bible says that the curtain in the temple is torn apart. Now this is significant. Because the curtain was in the middle of the temple, and it was covering a place called the Holy of Holies, where God's presence was. And normal people couldn't go into the Holy of Holies, into God's presence. Only the high priest could, and only the high priest could go there once a year. But because of Jesus' death, that barrier that kept people from going into God's presence is torn in two. And now we can approach God because of what Jesus did on the cross. And then it continues in verse 46. Then Jesus shouted, "Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands." And with these words, he breathed his last. So Jesus died after 6 excruciating, humiliating hours on the cross. But then look at what happens next. Verse 47 says, "When the Roman officer, overseeing the execution, saw what had happened, he worshiped God and said, 'Surely this man was innocent.'" There was something that happened here on Good Friday that made even a hardened Roman soldier begin to believe, to reconsider. He saw something that kindled a spark of belief even in him. And then verse 48, "And when all the crowd that came to see the crucifixion saw what had happened, they went home in deep sorrow." See, this crowd, they were hoping something would happen. They were waiting and watching to see if maybe God would intervene in this circumstances. They were hoping beyond hope for a miracle. But then Jesus stopped breathing, and their last hope was gone. It was too late for a miracle, and they left just with broken hearts and deep sorrow. But you know, maybe not everyone gave up completely, because going back to our story, verse 49, it says, "But Jesus' friends, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, they stood at a distance watching." So there were some people who didn't give up hope yet. They watched. They were still hoping beyond hope for a miracle. Maybe he wasn't really dead. Maybe he had just passed out. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's still time. And so it's 3 p.m. on Good Friday, when it feels like it's too late for a miracle. But let's fast forward to Sunday Easter morning, right before the sun comes up, and you see the miracle of the resurrection. We find this in Luke 24, beginning in verse 1. It says this, But very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. So this group of women, they were among the most committed of Jesus' followers. You know, they didn't give up hope for a miracle on Good Friday. They had hoped that he had just passed out. Maybe Jesus wasn't really dead, but now it's 3 days later. It's Sunday morning, and now they're bringing spices to prepare his body to cover the smell of what by now should be a rotting corpse. The fact that they were following the traditional Jewish custom of putting spices on Jesus' body shows that they did not expect Jesus to rise from the dead, like what had happened to Lazarus just a few days before. And then to remove all hope, the Jewish leaders and the Roman soldiers had sealed Jesus' tomb with a stone, a huge stone. And they placed guards outside so that stone couldn't be moved, even for the most committed person. It really felt like it was too late for a miracle. But I want you to look what happened when the women approached the tomb. Back in Luke 24, we're now in verse 2, it says, they found the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So that's that huge stone that would seal Jesus in and had symbolized that his death was final. There was no way out. It had symbolized that it was completely over. There was an immovable object in the way. It symbolized the impossible. But now they walk up to the tomb, and this rock had been moved to the side. Verse 3, so they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. So they stood there puzzled. Two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed their heads to the ground. And can you imagine what that would have been like for them? I can't even imagine in that moment what they were feeling. So the stone is rolled away. There's no body there. And then all of a sudden, two angels show up. They must have been so confused and just completely terrified. Then it continues, then the men asked, why are you looking for the dead, for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day. So the angel is saying, don't you remember what he told you was going to happen, what he had promised you, that even death couldn't hold him? And so listen, when you've given up hope with Jesus, it's never too late for a miracle, because Jesus is the one who brings life from death. He's the one who brings hope out of despair. He's the one who follows crucifixion with a resurrection. So our story continues with verse 8. Then they remembered what he had said, that he had said this. So they rushed back from the tomb to tell his 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. That is the hope of Easter. That's what I want to remind us today about. Almost 2,000 years after the resurrection, even if we feel hopeless right now, even if you've given up all hope for a miracle that you need, with Jesus, it's never too late for a miracle. So what do you do if you feel like it's too late? You know, maybe you feel like it's too late for your health, or it's too late for your career, too late for that relationship, it's too late for your future. Let's look at what the Bible says that we should do. What do you do when it feels like it's too late? Well, here's the first step there in your notes, is what we learned from the resurrection. Write this in: remember God's promises. This is where it begins. We remember God's promises. When the women approached Jesus' tomb, they had given up all hope. They had the spices ready to prepare Jesus' body. And even after they saw the stone was rolled away, and even after they saw that Jesus' body wasn't there, they still didn't believe in the miracle. They were terrified. They were confused. They thought someone maybe had stolen Jesus' body. Why did they miss initially the miracle? Well, they missed the miracle because they had forgotten Jesus' promise. The angels reminded them by saying, why are you looking for Jesus here? You know, he told you that he would die and then rise from the dead on the third day. And maybe right now, You're feeling a little bit maybe like these women with your circumstances, just kind of terrified or just confused by the things that are going on in your life, your financial circumstances, your health circumstances, career circumstances, relationship circumstances, life circumstances that feel like they're just closing in on you. And you're confused about why God would allow it to get this far where you just are running out of hope. Maybe you feel abandoned and given up hope in that miracle. Well, I want to remind you today, like the women did, needed to be reminded at the empty tomb about God's promises. There are over 7,000 promises from God in the Bible for you. Over 7,000 that you can depend upon because God keeps every single one of them. Let's look at our next passage there in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. It says, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promises. Underline that last phrase. God can be trusted to keep his promises. Even in the crucifixion, God planned to keep his promise of the resurrection. And even in the circumstances before you right now, God is going to keep the promises that he has made to you. So here's what I'd like you to do right now. If you are dealing with some challenging circumstances in your life, and maybe you even feel abandoned by God, or however you're struggling with it, would you just right now take a deep breath? And then let it out. Release that tension. And remember that it's not too late for a miracle. That the promise is already there. You know, the promise is that he will never leave you or abandon you. That he loves you. That there's this promise that he's working behind the scenes for your good. Another promise that if you trust him, he will lift you up. And so we want to be careful not to let our emotions take control, but instead trust in God's promises. Because if you will do that, you can know that Jesus, he's not in the tomb. He defeated death. He's still in charge. So anything that you're going through right now, first remember, when it feels like it's too late, remember God's promises. And then after you do, here's the next step. When it feels like it's too late for a miracle, write this in, trust God's timing. Remember God's promises and then trust God's timing. And here's the challenge. God doesn't work on your time schedule. So when you feel like it's too late for a miracle, well, God might have just got started. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 8 says, but you must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. God's timing is just different than ours. The ancient Greeks actually had two words for the word time. They had the word chronos. That's where we get the word chronological. And so that is calendar time. It's our time. It's time on a clock. It's how we experience time. It means God. And so it's how we go through time. But then the other Greek word is this word kairos. And kairos is the right time. It means God's time. It means the perfect time, the most opportune time. While chronos is tick-tock time that keeps moving forward, kairos is the powerful moment when time stands still. It's the moment when God is ready to act, to move. It's the Spirit's time. This is time that you can't put on your schedule because God's timing, his kairos timing, is perfect. And so that means when you're waiting on a miracle and you're waiting on God to intervene, you're waiting on God to do something, you have to surrender your plans and your timing to him because his timing is perfect. And the challenge is to learn to trust that God's timing is the best timing and surrender the illusion that you know what is best. And that can be tough. So yes, plan your schedule. Yes, it's okay to pray and say, God, I need you to intervene now. I need you to work now. But train yourself to trust God's timing. Even if your opinion, you know, your timeline has expired. Because, you know, God says, trust my perfect timing. And so you might want God to bring someone into your life. You haven't been married yet. You're not even dating yet. But you're looking for that perfect person. And so you're asking God to do something. But he says, trust my timing. Or maybe you're looking for that new job that you know would just make things a lot easier. And God says, listen, I want to bless you, but it's going to be in my perfect timing. It's not yet. Or maybe you invited that friend or that family member to come to church with you, and they have just been saying no and putting it off for so long. Don't give up. Keep trying. Because God is going to work a miracle in their life in his perfect Kairos timing. Look at what it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. It says, yes, God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from the beginning to the end. You just can't see and understand what God is doing. You can't fully understand his timing, but you can trust that God has made everything beautiful for its own time. So when you feel like it's too late for a miracle, not only is God's timing different than yours, but his purposes are different as well. And that's the third step. When it's just too late for a miracle and it feels that way, so first remember God's promises. Next, trust God's timing. And then the third thing is to determine God's purpose. Write that in. Determine God's purpose. When it feels like it's too late, one of the things we often do is we question God's purpose. You know, God, what are you doing here? God, do you even care? Do you even know what's going on in my life? But even during those times when you feel forgotten, I want to remind you that God is working behind the scenes for your good. He loves you. He wants the very best for you. He might just have a different purpose or plan. Or he might have a different ultimate goal than you have. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. It describes God's thoughts as different than ours. It says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. And my ways are far beyond anything that you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways. And my thoughts higher than your thoughts. You might not understand why you're having to wait for the miracle that you're looking for, but God can see further than you. And you can't even imagine the plans that he has for your life. So why is this miracle not coming on your timeline? Why are you having to wait right now? Well, there could be a whole bunch of different reasons, but in your notes, I put some potential ones, kind of the three really big reasons of all the possible reasons it might be. And the first one is that God wants to grow me. Write that in. He wants to grow me. God might delay giving you what you're asking for because he just needs you to grow up a little bit more first. Because if he gave you what you were asking for, you know, he just needs you to be a little bit more mature. He needs you to trust him more. He needs you to develop some patience and some endurance and to strengthen your faith. And maybe you're praying, God, would you just bring that right person into my life right now? And God's like, you know, if I brought that right person in your life right now, you'd blow it. You're just too immature at this moment. You just got to grow up a little bit before I can bring that blessing into your life. And so I'm delaying until you grow. Or maybe you're praying for a promotion at work. God says, look, you've got to grow up a little bit. If I put that much responsibility on you right now, you would crumble. You can't handle it. You've got to grow. You've got to get stronger. You've got to mature a little bit. Sometimes God delays because he wants to develop your character before he does it. And in the waiting, we grow the most. Here's the second potential purpose for why God is delaying, and that is to glorify Jesus. He might want to glorify Jesus through your circumstances. Have you ever wondered why Jesus was in the grave for 3 days? From Friday to Sunday. I mean, there could be lots of different reasons, but I believe one of them is that God wanted that miracle to be even greater. So people would be even more amazed, so that God would be glorified even more. And you know, it might be possible that God is delaying your miracle right now Because when he blesses you, he wants to show the entire world how incredible Jesus is, and he wants to use your miracle to point people to him. Yes, he could have kept that cancer from spreading. But when people see the courage and faith that you exhibit in the face of adversity, Jesus is going to be glorified. And if God removes that tumor after they said it was impossible, people will be amazed and Jesus will be glorified. You're praying for your child that they would give their life to Jesus and that they would do it soon. But when he finally says, or when they finally say yes to Jesus after all they've been through, people are going to be amazed. Jesus is going to be glorified. And by the way, let me just say this. When God does give you a miracle, don't act like it's just luck or it's just a coincidence. Don't take credit for that good thing that Jesus has brought into your life, because if you take credit or you ignore the miracle, you might not get another one. It's so important to stop and give Jesus glory for that miracle. So important that you tell people about it and give the credit to God. And then one more possible purpose for your delay. God may want to grow you. He may want to glorify Jesus. And the third one is he may want to give a new direction. God might want to give a new direction. Maybe God's delaying your miracle right now, that you're going because you're going in the wrong direction in life. Maybe you've been praying for the wrong miracle. You want to open this door that he's saying that's not the best door for your life. And so whenever you experience delay, I think it's important, you know, when you're waiting for that miracle and it's not coming and it's not coming, pause and ask God, how do you want to grow me through this? Or Jesus, how do you want to be glorified through this? But also ask God, am I asking for something that's outside of your will? Am I going in the wrong direction, going down the wrong path? Am I trying to knock down the wrong door? And then allow God to redirect you. Open your heart to the idea that God might have an alternative plan. Now, it's okay to pray for what you want and what you desire to happen, but ultimately, it's important that we surrender to God's will and his purpose and his timing and trust him. And here's why. Because it's only too late for your plan. It's never too late for Jesus' plan. It's never too late for God's will to be done if you're willing to adjust to God's plan. Psalm 27, verse 14, it says this, wait patiently for the Lord. Oh, how we struggle with that one. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. And so when it feels like it's too late, remember God's promises, trust God's timing, determine God's purposes, and then finally, here's the last one, rely on God's power. Rely on God's power. In other words, stop relying on your own power. You're not strong enough. Because let me tell you, at some point in life, life is going to knock you down, and you'll get back up, and it will just knock you down again. And you're going to find that you just don't have enough strength in your circumstances. So instead, begin relying on God's power, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 19, look at this promise. It says, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for those who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. Underline that phrase. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead that is available to us. And so get this, God's power that can bring miracles into your life, it's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, and it's available to you when you place your faith in Jesus, when you put your life in God's hands and you follow him. That power, it resides in you. And so if there's one truth that you leave here on this Easter Sunday morning, I hope it's this, despite the disappointments and the delays and the defeats, with Jesus, it's never too late for a miracle. Easter proves it. The resurrection, it proves it. It may feel impossible right now, but with God, it's never too late for a miracle. Our key verse for today is found in Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. It's a great verse to have in your heart when you feel like it's too late. It's a promise from Jesus. I'd like us just to read this verse out loud together. It starts with the word humanly. And so if we can put that one up there. Oh, there it is. Okay, we're going to skip that first line, and we're going to start with humanly speaking, okay? So we're going to skip. Jesus looked at them intently and said, okay, ready, ready, humanly speaking, let's read that. Humanly speaking, it is impossible, but with God, everything is possible. Do you believe that verse? I mean, I think most of us accept it in our head, but does our hearts believe that verse? Humanly, yeah, you can't do it. It's impossible, you're right. But with God, everything is possible. If you need the impossible, if you need a resurrection, if you need a miracle, Jesus can give that to you. He can give you that turnaround, that new beginning that you need. Maybe today, you're here, you've come together on this Easter Sunday, and it may have been a while since you've been in church. Maybe you used to have a relationship with God and you used to be close, but, you know, life has just kind of taken over. You've gotten really busy and just kind of, you know, slipped out of your hands. And it's just gotten a little bit old, that relationship you had. You know, I hope you don't waste this opportunity that you have for a new beginning today. I hope that you'll choose to be a part of this I Need a Miracle series from the beginning to end. If so, you know, just make sure you mark that on your connection card and make that commitment. Or maybe today you've come and, you know, you've known maybe a little bit about God, but you've never really asked him into your heart. You've never asked him to be a part of your life. You've not given your life to Jesus yet. And you've just been kind of thinking, you know, maybe today's the day. Maybe today is the day that I give it to God. You know, that would be the greatest miracle that you could ever experience. The miracle of salvation, the miracle of a new person, the miracle of a new heart of forgiveness. And so in a moment, I'll give you a chance to pray about that. But before we do, I want to just take this opportunity to take a quick survey of our church, the whole church. Only take a minute. If you would take out your connection card for a second, it's this card that looks like this right here. And on the back, I'd love for everybody to take this. And I know some of you might be sharing a bulletin, and so if there's two people in your family, you could give two responses or three responses. I don't need to know who is who from your family, but just a quick survey of our church, of where you are spiritually right now. And so if you look at that third next step, you just see those letters A, B, C, and D. I want to explain to you what those letters represent. And if you would be willing just to mark that, it's just between you and God. I'll be the only one that looks at these. But A is that you are already a believer. You've already given your life to Christ. You have been walking with him. You have a relationship with God. And would you just mark A if that is you? And that's great. I celebrate that. We're celebrating the resurrection today. So mark A if you're already a believer in Jesus. Mark B if you're believing in Jesus today. You've decided today is the day I give my life to Christ, or today is the day I rededicate my life back to God. If you are believing today, would you mark B for that? And then for C, would you mark C if you're considering believing? You know, you're seriously considering who Jesus is. You're open. You haven't really made up your mind completely yet, but you're considering. You're trying to see whether this is your path or not. And I don't think there's any better place in the whole wide world that you can be than here at Living Water. And I hope that you'll be a part of this I Need a Miracle series. I think you're just going to learn a lot more and help you make the right decision there. But if you're considering believing, mark C. And the last one is D. You know, D stands for I don't think I'll ever believe. You know, you might enjoy being here, part of this service. You might have enjoyed the breakfast and watching the kids find their eggs. But honestly, you'd say, you know, I just don't see myself believing in God. And if this is you, I want you to know that I'm glad you're here too. And then I think, you know, I hope you'll be a part of this series, and I think that this would be great for you as well. But would you take a moment and just mark one of those, A, B, C, or D? A, already a believer. B, I'm believing for the first time or rededicating my life to God. C, I'm considering. And D, I don't think I'll ever believe. And again, that's confidential. I'm the only one who's going to see these when you put these in the offering plate. But thank you for completing that survey. It just kind of gives me an idea of where our church is as a whole as we make plans for worship services for the rest of the year. Now let's go take a moment and just go to God in prayer. Because in prayer, I want to ask God for the miracle that you need. And so let's pray. Father, thank you for Easter. Thank you for the miracle of the resurrection. Thank you for bringing life from death and hope from despair. And for showing us that it is never too late for a miracle. And as we pray, you know, if you were once a follower of Jesus, but life has just gotten really busy for you and it's just kind of fallen by the wayside, maybe you've just been feeling despair and disappointment instead of the peace and joy that should be there in your life because of the distance that's between you and God. Today, I encourage you to rededicate your life to Jesus. Return home to Him. He's waiting for you with open arms, and He can give that miracle that you need. But if you began this service, and you know you don't have a relationship with God, you maybe believe that He's there, but you just have never asked Him into your heart, and you're not sure where you would spend eternity if you were to die. You know, you're just living life under your own power, your own understanding, under the stress and anxiety of living apart from God. And today I want to encourage you to accept God's free gift of salvation, to step across that line and get right with God, to believe in Jesus. And if you're ready to do that, if today is your day, you can just simply pray this prayer with me. If you'll say these words silent in your heart as I say them out loud, but just say, God, I admit that I've been living my life apart from you. I've fallen short. But today, I choose to put my trust in you. I believe, Jesus, that you died on the cross for my sins and was raised to life on Easter. I commit to following you as my Lord and Savior. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Give me real life now and eternal life forever. I commit to living my life your way through your church. And Father, if there's anyone who's a part of this worship experience who needs a miracle, someone who's been praying and praying and praying and waiting and waiting, and now they've just begun to give up hope. Maybe there's some desperation that has set in, and their faith has started to slip. It's starting to feel like maybe it's a little too late. I pray for an infusion of resurrection power faith. I pray for the strength to keep holding on to your promises. I pray for the wisdom and discernment to be able to accept that your timetable might be just different than our timetable. Sometimes your will is different than ours. Sometimes the answer to our prayer isn't yes or no, it's wait. Give us the strength and will to trust you in the waiting, even when we have to wait for eternity for our answer. I pray this in Jesus' mighty, matchless, powerful name. Amen.